Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
So let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. In fact, I want you to open it two places at the same time. Can you do that? Galatians chapter 6 and then Mark chapter 4. Find those two places. Galatians 6 and Mark 4. And we're continuing this study that we're on called Planting a More Fruitful Life. How many of you believe God wants you to have a more fruitful life? And how many of you believe that it has more to do with us than it does God? Didn't hear much on that one, huh? I said, how many of you believe that a more fruitful life in our future has more to do with what we do than what God does? Now, some of you are looking like, wow, I didn't know that. You need to know that. God is not one that just looks at one person and says, you know, I'm going to help that person, but this dork over here, I'm not going to help him. How many of you know that God shows no partiality? Is that right? God loves us all, and if we'll, you know, it's like God just doesn't, you know, say, you know, I'll take him to heaven, but that guy right there. No, Jesus came and died for all of us, but it's those who receive him as Lord, right? So really, a person going to heaven has more to do now that Jesus has paid the price with what they do than what Jesus does, because Jesus has already paid for that. Is that right? He's already paid the price to save them, so now they need to come and respond to the good news about Jesus and receive him. And if they will do it, then they'll get to heaven. But if they don't do it, then they won't. Well, that same principle is true with all the blessings of God, that we have to come and receive those things that Jesus has provided and sow the seed. And so that's what Galatians is talking about. Did you find Galatians 6 yet? Did you find Mark chapter 4 yet? Okay, let's all read out loud here in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read our foundational text. Verses 7 through 9, this is what we've been basing this whole study on. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you don't have that particular version with you, that's okay. There are a lot of good ones out there, but for the sake of reading aloud, let's all read on PowerPoint if we need to, up on the screens. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, reading loudly and together, let's read. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now I want to focus on that ninth verse for just a minute. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. Say that with me. We shall reap. Don't you love it when the Bible has these absolutes? I mean, he's saying you will reap what you sow. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, sin, then you'll reap from the flesh. But he said you will reap. And we've talked about that, how we will reap what we've sown. But notice he says this. We shall reap. And then what's the next word?
If.
Boy, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. How many of us have sown some things? We've sown some good things, given when God said to give, been obedient when God said to be obedient. Not that we've been perfect, but man, we've stretched to be obedient to God. But yet we haven't felt like we've reaped the harvest that we should have reaped. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, there are people in the body of Christ that tithe and they give, and yet for some reason they still feel like, man, I'm still struggling financially. What is going on? I thought I was going to reap what I've sown, and I haven't reaped. But I want you to notice that reaping is not always automatic. Are you listening to me? And the Bible uses the analogy of the farm. You know, farmers go out there and they work really hard to plow the field, really hard to sow the seed into the ground. They work really hard cultivating, watering and such. But then when the harvest comes and it's all ripe, the farmers just don't say, look at all that corn. Look at that. All right, corn. The barn's right over here. Jump, jump. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. In the barn. How many of you know it takes work to reap that, doesn't it? And a lot of times Christians do not reap their harvest because they make this assumption that spiritual harvest is automatic. All you have to do is sow, and it just jumps in your barn. Well, I want you to know that if you hang around a while and sow and sow and sow, you'll realize it doesn't always jump in the barn. Man, it takes effort to reap, and a lot of believers don't know this. And so they've sown, and there's a full harvest right there, and they're not reaping it because they don't understand there are certain conditions to reaping that harvest. How many of you want to know what those conditions are? Is that right? How many of you want to reap the harvest that God has for you? Four of us. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you do me a favor, everybody? Come on. Look at somebody next to you and say, get with it. Come on, tell them, get with it. I mean, this is time to get something done for the kingdom of God. Now listen, everybody look at me and I want you to say this. Say, harvest,
harvest
and reaping,
and reaping
are not automatic.
Are not automatic.
Now say this. Say, I will reap my harvest.
I will reap my harvest.
Now I'm going to show you some things about that today. And let me just say that Wednesday night, if you were here, I told you I was letting the cat out of the bag because we were talking about these things. And I told you that I was going to be talking about them in the weekend service. And man, I feel like the Lord wants me to go over these things here in the weekend service, much of what we went over on Wednesday night. Because the Lord is massaging this into us so that we can reap the harvest that God has for us. And it's very important. Now, did you find Mark 4?
Yes.
Come down in Mark chapter 4 to the 26th verse. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus is teaching here. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Verse 29, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Because what has come?
Harvest.
Now I want you to notice something. Listen. Verse 29, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle. Who's he? The guy that has sown the seed. Isn't that right? See, a lot of times we don't realize this. We think that we sow, we give, we're obedient to God, we do the right thing here and there, and we just expect that it's all automatic. Some things seem to be automatic. It's like you've got that harvest there, and you walk out of the back door, and the field comes all the way to the porch. And so there's the corn on the stalks right there, and you say, hey, we're having corn for dinner, and you just grab some and go right back in the house. It seemed automatic. You don't have to do anything. But how many of you know there's a whole field out there that needs to be harvested? You got a little bit for today. You just reached out and grabbed some. But there is harvest to be reached. There's harvest to be reaped and brought into your life. I'm telling you, God's word is not a lie. When the Bible talks about tithing, and it says God will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing that you don't have room enough to receive, I'm telling you, that's meant to be real in your lives. God wants a separation between Christians and unbelievers. God wants Christians to function at a different level. Did you know that? I remember some years ago, they asked Jack Nicklaus, the great golfer, about Tiger Woods. They said, tell us what you think about Tiger Woods. Tiger was winning all these championships, and they said to Jack Nicklaus, tell us what you think about Tiger Woods' game. And he said, Tiger is playing at a level that I'm not familiar with. Tiger is playing at a level that I'm not familiar with. Well, did you know that the church, the body of Christ, ought to be functioning at a level that the world is not familiar with? Did you know that? The world should be looking at us and saying, you know, I'm not exactly sure how that works for them. I'm not exactly sure why it seems like the tables are slanted their way. It seems like everything they do, doesn't the Bible say everything you put your hand to will prosper? Doesn't it say that? See, we're supposed to function at a higher level than all the world. Some Christians get so excited, they get a secular book, and they're reading that secular book so excited, they caught something. Well, you can catch some good principles from secular books. I'm not against secular books, but let me tell you something. People that don't know God and understand the kingdom's way will not be able to explain to you this higher level that God has for us. There's another level that the Lord has for us to function with the power of Almighty God. And part of this is reaping the harvest that's in the spirit realm. Reaping this harvest. So Jesus says here that when the harvest is ripe, that same person that has sown the seed has to put the sickle in and reap the harvest. In other words, if you tithe, if you give, if you're obedient to God and you sow to the Spirit, don't just expect it's going to automatically jump in your barn. God is going to bring about opportunity. He's going to bring ideas. He's going to bring wisdom. You know, like that mom that went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, please pray for my 21-year-old son. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's just sitting at home watching TV." And so he said, "Yeah, I'll pray for him. In fact, would you like me to talk to him?" "Yeah, talk to him, would you?" So he gets with him and says, "Hey, what's going on?" "Oh, I'm just discouraged and depressed." "Well, why? Why?" "Well, because, you know, I got all these bills and I've been praying and believing God and saying, Lord, you said you'd supply my needs and I'm believing God to supply my needs and he never does. All I get is job offers." How many of you know people are like that sometimes? I mean, the Lord sends them the answer to their problem, but they don't see it. They don't realize that's the answer to what I need right now. They're looking for it a different way. They're just checking the mailbox. Where's the money? Somebody should have sent me money by now. I gave, I've tithed, I've done this. Where's the money? And we don't realize that that's not the way it always happens. So often, God has to open our eyes to see something in the natural. Now, let me give you an example of this. Last Thanksgiving, just 3 months ago, on Thanksgiving Day, as soon as I woke up in the morning, the Lord began to speak to me about fishing here at the church. In other words, evangelizing. Reaping the harvest of people. Now, it was a little bit of a surprise, a pleasant surprise to me, because for the previous 2 years, the Lord was telling us to go deep. The Lord was telling me what to teach and to take the congregation into deeper things of the Spirit. And so we were launching into deep things, and He wasn't instructing us to go out. In fact, I had so many people come and say, "Hey, should we do this promotion, that promotion?" I said, "You know what? The Lord instructed us right now just to work on the nets. Just to get the nets ready, just to work on the ministry here at the church so that one day the people will come." Well, all of a sudden, Thanksgiving, man, God began to, I had to get up and write in my journal and list out all the different things to do that the Lord was instructing us to do. Well, so I came back and I shared with my wife. I began to share with the staff and we shared with you. We taught on it. I showed you what the Lord's saying and we began to do it. And do you know what happened? I'm telling you, we grew 200 to 300 people in 2 months. In 2 months. And not only that, but listen to this. We now are at a place where over 100 people a month are making decisions for Jesus now. Here. Over 100 people a month are making a commitment to Jesus. Now let me tell you, what's that called? That's harvest. That's harvest. You know how that happened? That happened because we were plugging along, doing what the Lord said for us to do, and we didn't see that there was a harvest to be reaped. But the Lord said, just like He said to the disciples, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch some." Well, it didn't seem like much of a change, but it worked, didn't it? They had a full net. Just like He told Simon in Luke 5, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch." And He didn't let down the nets. He let down one net. And the net started breaking because Jesus had already called nets full of fish to come, and He only let down one net, so the net was breaking. Let me tell you something. All we have to do is hear from God and to know what to do to reap this harvest. But see, since the harvest is in the spirit realm, you can't see it with your natural eyes until the Lord shows you, until the Lord says, "Cast your net on the right side." It may seem illogical, but see, the Lord's trying to get across to us. You've sown seed, I've got a harvest. Now somebody says, "Well, wait a minute though. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. Why is it that when we sow, have you ever noticed when you sow to the flesh, those things seem to happen automatically, that harvest. Is that right? But when you sow to the Spirit, that's the one that doesn't seem to happen automatically." Well, let me tell you why. Because there is a being and a kingdom in the spirit realm called Satan and the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus says about Satan that he is a thief and he comes to do 3 things. What are they? Steal, kill, and destroy. Well, what does stealing mean? That means he's going to take something from somebody else that does not belong to him. Well, who do you think he's going to take it from? How many of you know he's not going to go to the riches in glory that God has in heaven and steal from God. How many of you know that's true? He's not going to get anything out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's going to come to the church, the people of God, and he's going to try to rip us off. And so we could have sown seed and have a harvest that's right there, and because we don't see it and don't reap it, he comes in and rips us off. Rips us off. Now let me tell you when the harvest is going to come. How many of you would like to know when your harvest is going to come? I'll tell you right now when it's going to come. When you're sowing to the Spirit and you're sowing good things, you want to write this down now. When you're sowing the good seed of the Spirit, the harvest will come, write this down, later than you want it to. That's just kind of the way it is. We want that seed to come up right now, don't we? God, I'm sowing this today, and when I walk out of service, I want somebody to come up and put a wad of money in my hand. That's what I want. Or, Lord, I'll be patient, and when I get home, I'll look in the mailbox. No, these things take time, and the Bible talks about the need for us to have patience. Well, let me tell you about the things of the flesh, when you sow to the flesh. I'll tell you when the harvest comes. Write this down. Sooner than you want it to. Isn't that right? Because we don't ever want to reap that. But it comes. It comes. But listen, when the harvest of the Spirit, those things that we've sown into the kingdom of God, when they come to full, ripe harvest, they don't just automatically come. We have to put the sickle in, but we have to hear the instruction of the Lord to show us how to do it. And so when the Lord spoke to me at Thanksgiving and said, do this, and do this, and do this, and we did those things, and all of a sudden, several hundred people start coming around, people are receiving Jesus like never before, I can't take the credit for that. That's because Jesus spoke and said, here's how to cast your net. Well, that same principle is true for every believer. Every one of you have harvest in the spirit realm, but you don't see where it is. You don't see what to do. So what do you need to do? You need to hear the Lord Jesus speak to you and to tell you how to reap your harvest. And let me tell you, it's not only about you. It's not only about you. Sometimes I hear Christians say this. You know, these guys that are always believing God for lots of money and you know, they're always wanting to get rich. And of course, we know greed is wrong, materialism is wrong, the love of money is wrong. The Bible warns about those things. They're deadly. How many of you know that? They are deadly. Vicious. You want to stay away from those. But some people get over into the ditch on the other side of the road and say, yeah, all these guys believing for lots of money and, oh, I'm standing in faith for this and that. And making fun. And they'll say, you know what, I just told the Lord, Lord, just supply my needs. I'm content, Lord. Just take care of me. Just supply my needs and I'm happy. Let me tell you what that's called. Selfishness. Did you hear me? Selfishness. Lord, just supply what? My needs. God, it's all about me. Forget the single mom that lives next door that's struggling. Right? Forget the souls that are out there that need to be harvested into the kingdom. Forget the missionaries that have laid down their lives for the Lord. Lord, I will be satisfied, God, if you'll just supply my needs. You will not find that in the Word where God wants us to be sufficient with our needs. What you'll find is the Bible always talks about you having more than you need so that you can be a blessing. What we ought to be doing is saying, Lord, supply my needs, and God, I'm also believing you that you'll give me an abundance so I can sow into the kingdom of God, so I can help that lady over there that's struggling. Lord, so I can help that guy over here. Lord, so I can give to this ministry and that ministry. How many of you know that's what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, we ought to be, if it's not for ourselves, if you have a thing where you say, I don't want anything, well, fine, but believe God so you can give into the kingdom of God. Man, I want to give big into the kingdom of God. I want to see God's kingdom advance. When I get there to heaven, I want Jesus to say, thanks for helping me out. Thanks for not just praying for yourself. Thanks for praying that I would bless you to get something done in the earth. Amen? See, it's not about greed and materialism. It's about the kingdom. We're putting God's kingdom first. Now, let me read to you Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. Think about the harvest now. You've sown seed, you've given, you've been obedient. Out in the spirit realm where you can't see it, there's a harvest that has come up. But you need to reap that harvest. So you need the Lord to open your eyes to see it. Listen to what Proverbs 10:5 says. He who gathers in summer. Now, how many of you know summer is harvest time? You know the fruits come up in summer. Summer is another way of saying harvest. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. He who sleeps in harvest. When he says sleeps, he's not only talking about literally sleeping. That could be true too. Somebody that just won't get out of bed, won't get busy with things. But he's saying somebody that has a harvest out there to reap, but they're just not there. They're asleep. They're in la-la land. They're not paying attention. They don't hear the instruction of the Lord, so they don't reap their harvest. He said, that's a son who causes shame. How many of you know it's a shame for believers to have a harvest that they don't reap? Is that right? I said, is that right? There, it's a shame for believers to have harvest that they don't reap because the kingdom of God is moving forward. Souls are on the line all the time. Listen to what it says in the New Century Version. Those who gather crops on time are wise, but those who sleep through the harvest are a disgrace. Here's what the Good News Bible says. A sensible person gathers the crops when they are ready. It's a disgrace to sleep through the time of harvest. And then here's my favorite, the Living Bible. A wise youth makes hay while the sun shines. But what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity. How many of you know there are opportunities that come to us, but if we don't see it, if we're in a daze, if we're sleeping, if we're not paying attention, if we're not listening to the Lord, then we won't step out and reap and take that opportunity. Not only for ourselves and our families, but for the kingdom of God. We won't do it. And how many of you know those opportunities don't always stay around forever? Is that true? They don't always stay around. So see, what do we need to do? We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. How many of you remember Jesus talking to the woman at the well? And he gave her a word of knowledge, and she just thought, man, this must be the Messiah. She went back to her city, and she told everybody. And while she was back telling everybody, the disciples had gone to get something to eat, right? And so they came back to give Jesus a Big Mac. You remember that? Jesus, we got you a Big Mac. And he said, I got food that you don't know about. You remember that? And the disciples looked at each other and said, Did he go to Taco Bell? How many of you know Jesus talked on a different level than the disciples almost all the time? And so Jesus explains and he says, listen, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's my food, to get busy. And then he said this in John 4:35. He said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, because they're already white for harvest. What is he telling them? He's saying, you guys aren't seeing that right here in front of you, there is a harvest. You're thinking about food, you're paying attention to the natural realm, you're distracted with the physical. He's saying, but if you lift up your eyes, you could see in the spirit realm that there's a harvest here. Well, if you keep reading, you'll find out that this lady brought people from the city and came and they said, tell us what this lady was talking about. Jesus preached to them and the Bible said the whole city believed on Jesus. Well, how did that happen? That happened because Jesus was paying attention and he saw that talking to this one woman could be the key to reap a whole city believing on Jesus. Are you getting this? Anybody see this? The disciples didn't have a clue. They were there, but they didn't see it. And so Jesus said, listen to the phrase, lift up your eyes and look at the fields because they're already ripe. And then he goes on in the next verse and he says, and he who reaps receives wages. Is that what it said? Read that with me. He who reaps receives wages. What does that mean? That means God says, I'll reward you if you'll reap the harvest. I'll reward you. If you'll reap the harvest, I'll pay you to reap it. He who reaps receives wages. God wants people that are busy about the kingdom. They're seeing the harvest come in. And so Jesus reaped this harvest and the disciples just watched. Wow, man, how'd that happen? We were getting something to eat and Jesus was seeing a harvest. Well, that happened because Jesus saw something in the spirit realm that they didn't see. There is a harvest in front of you in the spirit realm. I remember last year, I was talking to our staff. And, you know, things were going along. And in here, I could sense, man, there is a breakthrough for the Rock right out in front of us. And I was telling some of the staff, I feel like I could just reach out and grab it. If I just close my eyes, I could reach out and lay hold of this. I can grab this. It's there. I sense it in the Spirit. I couldn't even really explain to them what I was talking about. But it was shortly after that that the Lord began to say some things, and bam, all of a sudden, we jumped to another level. Well, why is that? Is it because I'm so good? No, it's not because of me. It's not because of me. A lot of people think that this church is growing just because I'm so good looking. Well, one person thinks that. That's my wife. She's the only one. No, we know that it's the Lord. But listen, it doesn't just happen. It happens when we begin to sense things of the Spirit and do what the Lord says to do, that it unlocks that harvest to come in to the barn. And that's the same thing in your life. The Lord is speaking something to you and telling you what to do. And if you can hear what He says to do, it's going to unlock your life, your ministry, your finances, so that you can be a blessing and help the kingdom of God get down the road. How many of you want that to happen? Anybody? Do this. Just put your hands up right where you are and just say, Lord, I want your harvest to come in. Come on, tell them, Lord, I want your harvest to come in. I receive the wisdom. Tell them, I receive the wisdom from your voice in Jesus' name. Thank God. When we first came to this church, this building here, inside of me, I saw the ministry that the Lord had spoken to me. It was humongous. And I knew right off the bat, this building couldn't contain it. Now, back when we came here, this room was the width that it is right now. When the previous church took it over and they put walls in here because it was way too big for their congregation with one service, just way too big. So they made this sanctuary about a third of the size it is right now. Well, when we got in here, what I saw was, this is way too small. This whole building is too small. 19,000 square feet. It's just too small. We were having meetings because the church was closed. We were having meetings with 20-something people. But in here, is anybody catching what I'm saying? In here, I saw harvest. I saw what God had. And so I began to tell the group, it won't be long. You're going to see hundreds of people here. Hundreds of people. This building won't be big enough. We're going to have to do something else. And I began to see that in here and began to declare it in faith. And in the process of time, you know what happened. I mean, we had to blow this sanctuary. We enlarged this sanctuary four times to get it to the size it is right now. It would be extremely costly to enlarge it any more than it is right now. And so we believe God has some other things that will happen in the future. But we're working on the kids and the youth. But now we've got these three buildings. You know why? Man, when I drive this down this block now and I see these three buildings, I know that these three buildings happened because there was a harvest here ready to be reaped, but we had to see it first. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look, because if you don't see it, you can't have it. If you don't see it, you won't take the steps to receive it and to reap it into the kingdom of God. And so we began to take those steps in faith. And some of those steps, people thought, what are you doing that for? We don't need to do that. Like we started with two services. We were running about 80 people total. Adults, kids, everybody, 80 people, okay? And we launched this church with two services in a room that could seat 120 adults. Now, 80 people meant kids and everybody, and listen to this. When we got to launch our church, most of the adults of those 80 people were not sitting in church. They were greeters, and they were ushers, and they were kids ministers, and they were courtyard people. And so, when we got in here and started services, all the people we were looking at are brand new. And Dave told me later, he said, that was the hardest worship leading. He said, all these people just looking at me. They don't know who we are. We don't know who they are. Dave's up there, let's worship the Lord. You know, and they're looking, how do you guys worship the Lord? And we're trying to, you know, we don't know how we worship the Lord. We just started this church, you know. We're going to learn together. But I'm telling you, in here, we saw something. In here. Now when I drive around the corner, I don't only see three buildings. Come on, anybody with me? You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, God has thousands of people He's trying to reach for the kingdom of God. And if we can't see it, we won't get it. And so some people will say, well, you know, isn't that great how God just sovereignly just does stuff? You know, the Rock just popped like that. And all of a sudden, man, you've got 1,600, 1,700 people that are a part of the Rock now. Well, that didn't just happen sovereignly from God. I'm not saying it wasn't the power of God. What I'm saying is that the Lord had to show us what He saw, and we're catching up with His vision for this thing. And as we see it, we begin to act on it, and it begins to come to pass. It's like Abraham. When Abraham and Lot got too big for one another, they were too blessed. Abraham said, "Lot, choose the best land, whatever you want, and I'll go the other way." And so Lot looked out and he said, "Man, that's beautiful. That's plush right in there. That's, look at that. I'll take this land over here." And he chose, it turned out to be Sodom and Gomorrah. It all got fried. Well, isn't that right? Well, as soon as Lot took off and he left, I mean, as soon as Lot left, as soon as they were separated from one another, the Lord said, "Abraham, come here. Come here." And he said, "Look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west," including where Lot went. And he says, "I'm giving it all to you." But listen to what he said. He said, "Abraham, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are." Let me tell you, you can't wait till the harvest comes in to see it. You have to be able to look from right where you are right now. Can you see what God wants you to do? Can you see what God wants you to have? Because if you cannot see it, then you won't take the steps to receive it. You've got to be able to see that harvest. Thank God. Thank God. I remember in the summer of 2002, and I told somebody this on Wednesday, summer of 2002, my family and I were vacationing. We were up in the mountains. We were at a cabin. And I got up early in the morning, on vacation, that's, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something. You know, it's not real early. And I read my Bible and such, and the Lord spoke to me. And He said this encouraging thing. Listen to this. He said, "You know, the Dearmans haven't been very good with money." Well, thanks a lot, Lord. I appreciate that, you know. Thanks for the encouragement. But I wanted to hear what He had to say. How many of you know when the Lord says something to you, you want to know? Tell me what you're talking about. So I said, Tell me about that. What do you mean? You know, not that I was arguing with him. He said, "The Dearmans haven't worked together." He said, there is a lot of opportunity that they've passed right by. And he began to share some ideas. And man, I got my journal out, got my pen, and I began to write down. Now, I'm just writing things that popped into my head. Okay? Now, we were doing this church. My parents were driving down here to help us with this church, but they lived in West Covina, and they'd been wanting to move and get to a smaller house and come to Orange County and all that. And so these ideas started popping into my head, and I wrote down, well, Mom and Dad could sell their house and buy 3 or 4. I wrote down 2 or 3, but I checked it again. They could buy 3 or 4 houses and lease them to some of us, their sons. Because, see, all 3 of us, as sons, we had all moved to do various ministry things. We were all leasing, either apartments or houses or whatever, all paying to somebody else, unbelievers, paying money out. And I wrote that down. Never had really thought about that. Mom and Dad, they could, you know, buy several houses and lease. And then I wrote down another deal, because Kim's grandma, who was a missionary for 45 years to South America, who came back here, you know what her retirement was? $200 a month. Tuna plus Social Security. That's tight. How many of you know that's tight? But listen, she was in her 80s, and we talked to her, and she said, "You know, I just know God's got blessing for me. I just know I've been praying, God, I don't want to die without being able to bless my family and leave money for them. And God, I don't have anything, but I believe you. I've preached the word, and I've seen you work, and you can work in my life." Here she is. She doesn't have a job, and the devil would try to tell her, "You don't even have a job. You're all retired now in your 80s. How is that ever going to happen?" You know what? All of a sudden, things turned around and some inheritance came to her, and she ended up being the wealthiest person in the family. Is that right? And so I wrote down this idea. It seems self-serving, but listen, I wasn't just thinking about how we could be blessed. The Lord began to show me some things, and I put, well, she could buy something, and Kim and I could rent from her. Now, I knew that my parents would not lease to anybody else, would not buy a house and lease to anybody else, because they went to Bible college a few years back, and they left for a couple of years, and they leased their house to somebody and got into a mess and lost thousands of dollars because these people wouldn't pay. And they just didn't need that stress on them, and I just knew they wouldn't do it. But see, to family. Now, let me tell you, this wouldn't work in every family. But see, that's the truth, isn't it? But listen, the Lord helped me to understand that the Dearmans had a harvest called trust. Because we'd been walking right before the Lord. We walk in integrity. And so we trust one another. We won't do one another wrong. We'd rather take a hit than to do family wrong. And so there was a harvest called trust, and we weren't paying attention to it and doing anything with it. And so a couple weeks later, I was with my parents and my brothers, and I said, hey, listen, let me just throw this out to you. I was on vacation, and I feel like the Lord gave me some ideas of how we could work on some things together. All the sons have cash flow. You know, they have jobs. They're working jobs. They're paying rent to all these people. And my parents had equity and such. And I said, just throwing it out. Well, I threw this idea out that my parents could sell their home and buy multiple homes. And here's what my mom said. She said, you know, the Lord spoke to me years ago and promised me that I would have houses and lands. And she said, I've been believing God that before I died, that we would have houses for all of our sons to leave. Whew. She said, so this sounds right to me. I've been believing God for this. Oh, really? Well, then we tried to start working on some things, and then my older brother felt like he was going to do something different, and so it all fell apart. We just let it sit for a while. And we said, Lord, you know, I mean, it's got to be you. How many of you know to get all kinds of families all doing something in coordination? That doesn't always happen. That's rare. But I'm telling you, all of a sudden my brother found out, my older brother, he said, God's called me to go pastor a church in South Carolina. And my parents then after that said, we're supposed to move back there too. And so after this whole thing went down, they sold their house. And my parents bought two houses in South Carolina and one house here in Anaheim. And we realized after all the realtor fees and moving expenses and all that, had they not moved to South Carolina and bought two houses there, we would not have been able to do that idea. How many of you know God knows all of that? Is that right? Is that right? I'm telling you, my older brother's got this house with a lake in his backyard. They call it a pond, but to Southern California people, that's a lake. Man, that's big. That's a pond. You know, you put the little orange fish in there. That's a pond. Man, there's a lake out there. But see, the blessing was there. The blessing was there. So now my parents are the owners of three homes. And let me tell you this, and their cash flow is better. Their payments are lower. Cash flow. How did all that happen? Well, the Lord saw all that. We didn't see all of that. And then Kim's grandma, she decided, yeah, I'd like to do that. We had seen something. We had seen a home. And man, it was brand new. Just dirt. They hadn't even built it yet. And they said, this one just became available today. And Kim and I were looking at it. And I said, man, I got a sense about this. I put money down on it. I knew we weren't going to buy it because we didn't have the cash, and the Lord told us we're not going to borrow. Somebody else would have had to buy this. But I put the money down, found out if I can get my money back first. I had a sense, but it wasn't that strong. And so I laid the money down and locked it in. And her grandma ends up saying, you know, I'd love to do that. Yeah, I'd love to do it. You know, she bought that thing and leased it to us, which she would have never done to anybody else. But she leased it to us. And in 6 months, that thing grew in equity about $200,000. Are you listening to me? And everybody was telling me, or some people were telling me, you're at the peak of the market. It's a bad time to buy. Well, it turned out to be all right. That thing went up. So now she's got more equity. She's got more. I'm telling you, and God has blessed her since then. Blessed her since then. Well, how is that happening? That wasn't happening because I'm not even thinking about all this stuff, man. I'm over here working in the ministry, but I'm just up spending time with Jesus, and Jesus says, throw your net over here. Tell the Dearmans to toss their net over here. Do this and that. I'm telling you, everything just worked. And everybody ended up in a better situation than everybody else. And you don't have these brothers that are asking the landlord, hey, can I take this 70s wallpaper off the wall? No. Can we paint the front door a different color? You know, kind of be in style? No. That's what our landlord told us. No. Can't paint the front door? No. I'm telling you, we're trying to make the thing look good. You understand? But now all of that's solved, see, because everybody's working together. See, there was a harvest right there. Right there. But we couldn't see it till the Lord pointed it out. It took a year and a half for Jesus to bring it about. But it's all done, thank God. See, and we're believing for some other things. Because God is not lacking. God is not lacking. See, the Lord is trying to show us something. God's trying to show you something. There's something right there in front of you. Right there in front of you. I had a guy tell me this week that the Lord had spoken to him that over the next 3 to 4 years to buy 10 houses in various places, Florida, Texas, Arizona, and in 3 to 4 years to sell, or wait 4 or 5 years after that, and then to sell 3 or 4 of those houses and pay off the other houses, and then off of the income that would come in, he's going to go into full-time ministry. Well, how do you get ideas like that? Well, you're praying about it. You're saying, Lord, show me something. Give me an idea. And obviously, they're already working on a couple of them right now. They're already working on a couple. How many of you know if it's the Lord, it'll work? Is that true? But a lot of times we just sit there. We're in our rut. And there's a harvest there. God has given us ideas and provision. But because we're not doing anything about it, nothing happens. I met another guy talking to a guy yesterday. When we first came to this church, he was barely off the street. He was a homeless guy. And there was a little ministry that reached out to him, helped him off the street. And when we met him, he was barely off the street. I'm telling you. And his job was recycling, digging through the trash cans, getting all the metal and taking it. That's what he did for a living. And I'm telling you, I watched what he drove. It was amazing that thing got down the road. He needed to drop that thing off at the recycling. I'm telling you, it was in bad shape. But I talked to him yesterday and I said, how are things going? He said, you know, business has really picked up. And I thought maybe he got into a different business, you know. And I said, well, what business are you talking about? He said, the recycling business. I said, really? You're still in recycling? He said, oh, yeah. He said, it's different now, though. God's blessed me. He said, companies call me and pay me to come pick up stuff. He said, so I got these big contracts from companies. They say, come, we got all this stuff. Come pick it up. He said, they pay me to pick it up. He said, then I take it to another company. They pay me to drop it off. This is a homeless guy I'm talking about. But he found Jesus, and Jesus began to show him something right there in what he was doing that he didn't see. And now, you know, listen to this. He's working on buying 42 acres with 2 houses right now. This homeless guy. Well, he's not homeless anymore. Because, see, he saw something, and the Lord began to bless him right where he was. And now, man, he's working on 42 acres with 2 homes on it. In business, doing quite well. And he said, oh, yeah, God's blessed us. And I thought, my goodness. And I thought, see, that's harvest. That's harvest. Let me tell you, it's harvest time. And Jesus is trying to reap some things. He's trying to reap some things. He brought Joshua to the city Jericho. And chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 1 says, now Jericho was all locked up. All shut up because of the children of Israel. And the next verse says, and God said to Joshua, what's the next word? See? God said to Joshua, what did he say?
See,
I have given. Past tense. That's the prophetic past. I have given Jericho. It's all locked up. The walls are so big, people live in the walls. Rahab was living inside the wall. And God said, see, I gave it to you, Joshua. See, I gave it to you. Do you see it? But see, he had told Joshua in chapter 1, meditate on the word until you can see it, until you can see my power flowing in your life. So he tells Joshua, see it? And Joshua obviously saw it because he told the children of Israel, here's what we're going to do. We're going to march around it once a day for 6 days. 7th day, we're going to march around 7 days. We're going to yell and scream like madmen, blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to fall down. Now he also told the Jews, those 2 to 3 million Jews, don't say a word until we shout. One reason, I believe the biggest reason, is because they would have complained and they would have said, this ain't going to work. This is stupid. Walking around, look at those guys making fun of us from on top of the wall. Look at this, stupid. But let me tell you something. Did the walls fall down? Yes. But listen, Joshua had to see it first. You got to have something inside when you shout to 2 to 3 million Jews and say, shout because the Lord has given us this city. Because if we shout and it doesn't work, what's going to happen? They're going to kill you. Is that right? Let me tell you, it's time for us to see something in the Spirit. It's time. It's time. The Lord spoke to me about Easter time, saying it's harvest time. And I was sitting out here, I told you, at 6 a.m. in my car, a week ago Tuesday. And I was thinking about what God wanted to do, preparing for Easter to bring people into the kingdom of God and for them to receive the love of Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, blow those walls out with your faith and get these buildings ready with your faith. And let me tell you, He rebuked me. Because see, when we didn't have any money, We knew it was going to take God. And so we began to take the authority in Jesus' name and declare what was going to happen. And all of a sudden the money began to come in. The provision came in and things began to happen. But then, after, you know, the money came in and all that, then we got to looking back and saying, all right, what's the next project? How much do we have? How much do we need? All right, we began to look at the money as if that's what's going to tell us what we can do. And the Lord had to get on me about that. He said, no, the money came in because you believed. The money came in because you took authority. Don't look back to see what you can do based on money. He said, use your faith and blow these walls out and get these buildings ready. Man, I saw it. I saw what he wanted me to do. There was nobody out here. 6 a.m. I got out of my car. I looked at those walls and I started talking to the walls. In the name of Jesus, your days are numbered. You're blown out of here. I spoke to the buildings in Jesus' name. Now, if you'd have seen me, you'd have thought I was, you know, wasted. I'm doped up or something. I'm out there talking. But didn't Jesus talk to the tree? Didn't he? Huh? The fig tree standing there. And Jesus walks up to see if there are any figs. There are no figs. And Jesus says, well, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Did he say that? Yeah. To a tree? Yeah. And the next day the disciples came by and Peter goes, Rabbi, look, that tree that you cursed is withered away. And did you know the Bible doesn't say that he looked? We just assume that he looked. The Bible said he answered. Didn't say he looked, it said he answered. And he said, have faith in God. I don't have to look. I don't have to see. I said, don't let no one eat fruit from you ever again. See, let me tell you, God wants us to see here and to say some things and to say, in the name of Jesus, my life is not going to stay the way that it is. If I have 5,000 people to feed and only 5 loaves and 2 fish, they're all going to eat till they're filled. Why? Because we harvest based on the power of God. But we've got to see it. How many of you have a harvest out there that you need to reap in? Amen? Yes. We've got a harvest. We're going to reap this thing in because what God is going to do is contingent on us reaping our harvest so that we can be a part of this thing. So let's believe God. Come on, let's stand up right now. Come on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, there's breakthrough for the people of God right here. Right here, there's breakthrough right here where you are. Some of you are with me. I mean, you see what others of you, you're like, oh yeah, what are we going to eat today? Yeah, well, I mean, that's all right. That's all right. Just keep coming and God's going to get through to you. But you don't realize the power that there is right here in front of us. There is power right here. There is opportunity right there. We just need Jesus to speak. Right there where you are, would you close your eyes and say, Lord, show me the harvest, Lord. Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me where to cast my net, God. Lord, show me how to get people into the kingdom. Lord, show me how to reap the financial provision so that not only can my family have what they need, but Lord, so that your kingdom can have the supply that it needs. God, use me. Come on, saints. Ask him right now. Lord, bring it in. God, open our eyes. Help us to see it. In Jesus' name, we declare a harvest. We declare a harvest in this place. In Jesus' name, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me say this. Anybody in here that has equipment or a business or something that could help us remove these walls and repave the surface, the asphalt and such, come up.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.